We gather in the Lord's house on this winter Sunday morning to encounter the warmth of the Holy Spirit. May we experience Him in our worship service this day. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, for our beautiful prelude today. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this January Sunday morning. I'm glad that you've decided to face the cold and the wind this morning to come out and gather here at First Baptist for our worship service today. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And you can fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate following worship today. For those that are watching us online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. We're excited that you've joined us virtually this Sunday morning. I encourage you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up and download the worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our hour of worship today and for things coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time viewer online, we're glad that you found us this morning. Send me an email this week and let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. As you look at your bulletin today, you'll notice there are many things coming up in the life of our church. I do want to remind our church folks this afternoon, reminder to our ministry teams that church council is meeting today at 4 p.m. upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. If you are a team leader, make sure you're there for that meeting, or have someone from your team come and represent you at that meeting at 4 o'clock today. Children will meet at 5 tonight. Youth are going to meet a little bit later at 6 p.m. tonight. Looking ahead to this week, Wednesday, choir rehearsal, of course, is at 6:30 p.m. Thursday morning is our book chat at Barnes & Noble. That'll be at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. Also on Thursday, Thursday afternoon, you have an opportunity to go watch a free movie at Alamance Crossing. If you're interested in going to see the movie Song Sung Blue, it's going to be a free movie, free drink, free popcorn, something Alamance Crossing has started to do on a regular basis. Gay will be taking a group there, but she needs to know if you're going to plan on going, because you have to pre-order the tickets. So talk to Gay today if you would like to go to that movie. The plan is to meet here at 12:45, and then the movie's at 1:30 on Thursday afternoon. But just talk to Gay today to make sure you get your name on the list if you're planning on going. Then later that evening, on Thursday evening, we'll have our second session in our virtual winter Bible study, The Call, looking at the life of Paul. We had a wonderful study this past Thursday, and this Thursday, again, at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live, we'll have our second session. We're looking at The Call to Go, and looking specifically at Paul's first missionary journey. So join me online on Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Study guide will be available later on this week, and it'll be emailed out and also placed on the website. Also, something that's coming up in a couple weeks, now many of you know, a couple weeks ago we lost a dear friend here at First Baptist, Elon Dixie Wilson. She passed away a couple weeks ago peacefully, and while Dixie moved away a little bit before she passed away, I know she meant a lot to our church family and to our church folks. There is going to be a memorial service for Dixie on Saturday, January 31st, and it's going to be in Fayetteville. And so Gay is going to be taking a group up by bus. I will be preaching the funeral sermon that afternoon. It's going to be at 1 p.m. at Lafayette Cemetery. So if you would be interested in going and would like to go with the group that Gay is going to be taking on the bus, please talk to her. She wants to make sure she's already got four or five that are planning on going. And if you would like to go to that service, you can talk with Gay and ride along with the group for that service on January 31st. As you look at your bullets, I also want to remind you about our January missions in gathering. We talked about it last week, picking up items for the Burlington Animal Services Animal Shelter. Items needed are listed in your bulletin today. Someone else asked me last week, can we still bring items for the food pantry? Yes, you can. The food pantry is in progress of being finalized. We've got shelves ready to go. We're going to be anchor those to the walls. I think that still has to be done, or maybe it hasn't been done. It still has to be done, but there's lots of things that need to be filling those shelves when that takes place. So you're more than happy to bring any of the items for our food pantry at any time and let us know, and we'll be taking them upstairs to our new food pantry. Many other things going on this month. I encourage you to look at your January newsletter for those items. Now we gather in this place to lift praise to the one, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, who has called us to be here today and who is worthy of our praise.
Our first hymn this morning is Worthy of Worship. Let's stand and worship together.
Worthy.
morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 29. Listen to these words this morning. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in the temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. We gather here today listening to and for the voice of the Lord. And as we do, we praise with Him glory. Pray with me this morning. Architect of the universe, Your voice called out over the deep and darkness and brought forth light. Your voice called out over the waters and brought forth life. Your voice called out over the earth and brought forth our very beings. Your voice continues to call out in our universe and bring new hope and new life. Help us to hear Your voice above the hum of the highway, the buzz of the business talk. Help us to hear Your voice in the cries of children, in the soft tones of the sick, in the pleas of the poor. May we hear, listen, and respond to Your voice in our worship service this day. That is why we have gathered here in this holy place. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Creator, Redeemer, and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is a dangerous thing, walking up here with these readers on. Whoa, boy. The song that we're getting ready to sing is called We Are Called to Be God's People. And in this song, it tells you this. We are called to be God's people, showing by our lives His grace. We are called to be God's servants, working in His world today. We are called to be God's prophets, speaking for the truth and right. So as we sing this, listen to the words of this song and how wonderful these words are. Let's stand and sing, We Are Called to Be God's People.
We are called to be God's people, showing by Give my partner a crime a second to get up here. As part of the stewardship committee, we wanted to just come to you today and give you kind of a look back at 2025 and how we performed as a congregation in our giving.
Yeah, obviously these are just the main highlights here. Most important thing is, if you look at the numbers, we started the checking with $167,000.
Thank you. We finished with 170. So the important thing is that our checking account did grow $2,600. Now, I'm going to contradict myself here. The budget for last year was $335,000. We actually spent, as a church, $328,000. So we spent about $7,000 less than we had budgeted. But towards that, we only brought in $305,000. So that was a shortfall of $22,000. How did that happen?
Slide two, the roof. We've been paying ourselves back for the roof now for a couple of years, and I'm glad to say that we are 90% there. So we only have a balance there of $6,691.28. The donations for the year were $24,000, which covered the shortfall in the budget. So, you know, the main thing is, what's your bottom line? How much money do you have in the bank? And this year, fortunately, our church was able to put a couple thousand dollars extra in the bank. So that's good. Our roof, we still have the $6,691. I'd encourage you, if you feel the need to, help us pay that off. We should get that done here fairly quickly in this year, I would think, and would hope that we can do that and appreciate all the support. As far as for our stewardship team, John and I pretty much have a running battle of who's not the chairman of this committee, but we work together well, I think, and with the other four gentlemen that help out, Jimmy Hughes, Bobby Roach, and Phil Thompson, along with Michael Allison. We appreciate any support we can get. The support of the church is fantastic. I've always said that our church seems to come through when it's needed, and that's what we need. So 2025 was a good year for us, and we hope to see a better 2026. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy and John, and I do want to say thank you to all those that serve on the stewardship team. Oftentimes, you may not see them. They're behind the scenes, but they do a faithful service to our congregation, and I want to thank all of you for your faithful giving during this past year. We look forward to continuing to make a difference in 2026. I encourage you, if you have any questions, you're willing to talk to any of our stewardship members at any time about the budget, about needs, and about giving. I also will encourage you to come out to our round table meetings that we have once a quarter. Come out, that's where you'll get a more detailed conversation about our stewardship report. Now at this time, I'll call on John Hines, our deacon, for the offertory prayer today.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us give with love in every offering. May our gifts reflect compassion, generosity, and a sincere desire to serve you and others. Teach us to bless others selflessly without expectation and to give in ways that mirror Christ's love. Let our offerings strengthen faith, inspire generosity, and honor your name. May every act of giving be an expression of love that brings glory to you and joy to those who receive. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. If you would, join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word once again. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We come to confess today that our sin and pride hide the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor, those in our community, our state, our country, our world. We ignore cries for justice from our courtrooms, our prisons, from Minneapolis, across this world. We do not strive for peace in our own families, our own country, in Venezuela, in Israel, Syria, and across this world. Forgive us, God. In your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with your Spirit so that as forgiven and renewed people, we may reflect the love and the life of Jesus Christ into our dark world. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist on this January morning. I pray that the Spirit has moved you already in our worship service today, and I also pray that our sermon and scripture passage will speak to your life this hour. Over the next 5 weeks, we will be diving into the Old Testament and examining some of the books and the individuals who often get overlooked in our Christian canon. We often think that the prophetic words in the Old Testament were spoken only for that historical time, that place, and that situation. My hope is that during these 5 weeks, you will be able to see how their words and meanings still speak to our lives, to Christian lives today. This morning, as we begin our series, which is titled Prophets of the Old Testament, we turn to the book of Amos and examine the prophet in overalls. Amos was the prophet, literally in overalls. A farmer who wore clodhoppers on his feet, had calluses on his hands, and a righteous anger in his heart. He hailed from a dusty little town called Tekoa, located about 6 miles southeast of Bethlehem, perched on the edge of the Judean Badlands. Amos was a southerner with a mission to go to the north. Though he was a preacher by calling, he did not earn his living that way. If Amos were to do out a job description on his tax form and had to fill out that line that says occupation, he would have listed nurseryman and sheep breeder. Amos tended fig trees. He pricked the fruit to hasten their ripening, and he also ran a livestock business on the hills near Tekoa. No, Amos was not a professional clergyman. He did not attend Bible college. He did not have a degree hanging on his wall, a Master's of Divinity degree. But what Amos did have was a devotion for God, a passion for justice, a keen sense of right and wrong. Amos's red-hot fervor flies off the pages of this Old Testament book like hammer sparks from an anvil. Listen to this verse from the opening chapter, the opening verses of the prophet Amos. The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up and the top of Carmel withers. Talking about trying to get your attention. That's what Amos did. When we read the book of Amos, and I would encourage you to do that sometime this next week. It won't take you very long to do that. We see him he starts identifying and listing off the sins of the neighboring nations one by one. We can hear even in the background the echo of God's chosen people, Israel, the Jews, cheering in the background as Amos denounces the murderous, savage, warlike ways of Ammon, Moab, Edom, and other nearby Gentile countries. But then, Amos lands a surprise punch. He starts swinging at his own nation, the nation of Judah, knocking them senseless with stinging accusations. Idol worshipers, commandment breakers, tramplers of God's law. As the Judeans of the south are catching their breath, Amos then draws his attention on the northern kingdom of Israel into the ring, blasting them with charges of greed, bribery, oppression, and tabloid-style sleaze. Then Amos lands what many would call the knockout blow with the power-packed word from God in chapter 2. Now then, I will crush you as a cart crushes wind loaded with grain. The swift will not escape. The strong will not muster their strength. And the warrior will not save his life. Those are hard words. Those are hard words. There's serious charges. An indictment that made the people want to cover their ears and muzzle this country bumpkin prophet, the prophet in overalls. The king's chaplain, Amaziah, actually even did that. He tried to do that. He charged up to Amos like a bull and flamed him with these words in chapter 7. Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Do not prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Now, one might think that Amos would just go back home. They're not listening. I'm going to go back home. But it's hard to be a prophet. It's hard to be called. It's not easy to speak God's words of justice. People get mad at you, accuse you of being a troublemaker, or even worse. Willie Nelson would have changed the name of his famous song if he knew Amos to this: Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be prophets. But Amos would not shut up. He would not be quiet. He did not even soften his words. How could he? How could he? He looked around and saw that the Israelites and the righteous were on the way for righteousness of silver and of gold, and they overlooked the people who needed something simple, like a simple pair of sandals. They trampled on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground, and they denied justice to the oppressed. It was a golden age back then in Israel, in Judah, a prosperous time. The stock market was up. Interest rates were great. The pursuit of the almighty shekel ranked on top of pursuing justice and righteousness. Housing starts were red hot. The Israelites, who wanted to wow their neighbors, built both a summer and a winter home, opulently finished and furnished with inlaid ivory. Each individual, each family was striving for the good life. Was Amos talking about Israel? Was his words for just Israel, or was it also for 21st century America? On top of that, Israel was practicing what is called two-faced religion. On one hand, they bragged about giving offerings on top of their tithes and took pride in their liturgically correct worship services. On the other hand, however, they practiced gross idolatry by worshiping golden calves, engaging in temple prostitution, and tolerating an unbiblical priesthood. Amos cringed. He cringed. His face flushed. His anger mounted. You could almost see a Christ-like figure ready to overturn the money changers' tables located in the temple court. Amos knew he had to speak. Amos knew what he was called to say. Let's listen to some of those words today, our focal passage, Amos 5, 21 through 24. The words will be behind me on the screen. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. These weren't Amos's words. These were God's words. These weren't Amos's words. This was God's calling on his life. Do you recognize those words? Did you recognize that last verse spoken by another prophet in his day just a couple decades ago? If you do not know, we celebrate his holiday a week from tomorrow. Martin Luther King Jr. saw the injustice in the world, and he spoke a modern-day Amos. Now, let's fast forward a few decades later. Modern-day America sounds a lot like ancient Israel, doesn't it? We define success with dollar signs in place of the S's. We define the American dream not as giving, but as having. Unfortunately, that pursuit of happiness has come at a terrible price. How can I get ahead at the expense of the minority? What do I need to do, ethical or unethical, to get a step up on the competition, also known as our neighbors? What have happened to our priorities when we look at the faces of others? Do we see an obstacle or do we see a creation of God? My soul and my heart has ached this week. It has ached in the words and the echo of Amos's words. Once again, another senseless situation that cost a young woman, 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good, her life. I don't care if you blanket this situation in your Republican or your Democrat blanket. We need to stop looking at these situations from the political side, our political side, because we will never win if we do that. And I know I'm going to make you feel a little uncomfortable for a moment, but that's okay. Because we live right now in a country where a 37-year-old woman died, and all we can start doing is point fingers. Pointing fingers does not bring a 37-year-old woman back to life. 37 years old, a mother. Stop listening to the blasted news that wants to blanket it in political rhetoric. Because as Christians, in case you didn't know this, as Christians, we're called to look at every single person, every single individual, every Renee Goods, every individual through the eyes of Christ, not through Fox News or CNN. And until we start doing that, we are going to be in the same situation we are in on this Sunday. And I can already hear your minds going. I can already hear it running like, well, why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? I'm speaking as a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. Until we start looking at each other with Christ's eyes and seeing absolutely everyone as a creation of God, we will fail. We will fail. And our souls will continue to ache and hurt. Our souls will continue to grieve. This was the same injustice that Amos was speaking about 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. My intent this morning is not to try to make you feel bad. We just need to be aware. We need to be aware. God's people have never been called to stick their heads in the sand. Church and apathy do not belong in the same sentence. Our Baptist ancestors understood this. They fought to end slavery. They worked to improve prison conditions. They built clinics. They built schools. They built orphanages around the world. They helped abolish child labor in our country. Those are our ancestors. That's our heredity. Our Methodist brother in Christ, John Wesley, lived so simply and frugally that at the end of his life, he was giving over 98% of his income to the poor. You heard that right, 98%. Even past the age of 80, he spent 5 consecutive days in the middle of winter walking the streets of London, raising money to clothe them that needed it the most. After Wesley's funeral, after he was laid to rest, at his request, the draperies that were used in the service were taken down, sewn into dresses, and distributed to needy women in London. If you don't think you can live up to be like Amos, maybe John Wesley. If not John Wesley, maybe Martin Luther King Jr. Jesus said, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Instead, Jesus said, true life is found in love. Love for God and love for humanity. Is that how we're leading and walking the world? This morning, I want to encourage you to look around. Look around. Where do you see the greatest need in this church? In our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our city, our nation, the world. Be still for a moment. Be quiet for a moment. What is God calling you to do? How is He pricking your heart to make a difference in the lives of others just as He did Amos? What skills, talents, and abilities has the Lord given you to serve Him in the world He loves so much? Give and watch how Christ will bless, multiply, and spread your efforts. If you're a comic book fan, you know that Superman fought a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Christians, however, are called to fight a battle for truth, justice, and God's way. The ancient words of Amos will never go out of date, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Let's pray. Father, we hurt. We're a hurting nation, divided once again. And until we place and focus our eyes on You, we will continue to be divided. Father, it seems too often I come to the pulpit with a heavy heart for lives that have been lost senselessly. May we, each and every one that gather in here today, and those that are watching online, and those that may watch this sermon at some point later on, may they be guided and drawn to the words of Amos, who spoke for justice and what is right. Father, we are called to be your people. We just sang that in a song just a few moments ago. We are called to be your people. And that's the way we will come united and make a difference in this world. But may it start with me. May it start with you. May we make a difference through the words that we speak, the actions that we take, and the love that we share. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe today for the very first time, you recognize the love that Christ has for you, the love that God has for you that was echoed in the voice of the prophet Amos. If you feel that love for the first time and want to embrace him as your Savior, I'll be down front and welcome you as a brother in Christ. Maybe you're just seeking to be a part of a body of believers that seeks to honor God through the words and the actions that we take, that seek to make a difference, not just wait for a difference. If you want to be a part of our church family, First Baptist Elon, we will welcome you with open arms to love and embrace you. Or maybe like me, maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been struggling this week. Maybe it has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. Maybe it's a personal struggle that you've been facing. I encourage you to come to the altar. It is open. It's his altar. Lay it at his feet. I'll pray for you. A deacon will pray for you. Whatever pain and hurt you're feeling right now, take it to him. Give it to him. He is our God, and he loves you, and he loves each one of us, and he's ready for us to make a difference. Whatever your call is today, whatever it is today, answer it. Don't wait. Answer it today. Let's stand and sing. Congregation will be seated just for a moment. I'm excited to reintroduce you to a young lady who wants to be a part of our congregation. Alice, if you'll come up and join me up here. Alice has been a part of our congregation for many years, and I said, you've been a part of our family for a long time. This is just making it official, but we're excited that Alice comes by transfer of letter to be a part of our church body, our church family here at First Baptist Elon. And I know you are excited. I know she's excited. I'm excited. And I'm glad and I'm excited to see how God is going to use her for the years, many years to come. Again, as I told Alice earlier, I said, we don't vote anybody into our church. What we do is we support you and love you. So if you promise to love, support, and pray for Alice in the many, many, many weeks and months and years to come, would you please stand at this time right now? Alice, as you look out on this congregation, what you see is family. That's family. And this is your family now. We're excited that you're a part of our family officially. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Alice to stay up here. Debbie's going to kind of stay up here with her. Following the worship service, please come shake her hand, give her a hug, welcome her officially into the family here at First Baptist Elon. But I encourage you to, as each one of us goes out to a world that is dark and needs to see the light of Christ, be that light. Be that voice, that same voice that Amos spoke many years ago. We need a lot more voices. Go out and make a difference. Go in peace.